Hey, so this is also going to be a rant. It's a kind of overview of my perspective on China from going there and living there for a little bit. I would like to be able to go into more detail later about some of my own experiences there, if those would be interesting for people. But this is just some kind of maybe some word vomit, idea vomit, but I go into what I perceive as the kind of current situation of China and how I also think that many people should visit the country, right? You don't need to be a fan of the government in order to enjoy the people, the culture, the customs. So, take a listen. I hope you enjoy. So let's talk a little bit about what do I think about China in terms of my own personal opinion and/or experience. So first off, I want to say this is not going to be a news analysis of current events. I just want to kind of talk a little bit about some things, and well, that's what I do every time. But I visited China. I lived there for about a year back when I was in college, which was damn near 6 years ago that I was over there. It was 2012 to 2013. And it was honestly, I had a phenomenal time. So, first off, and everyone that I know pretty much that has been to China by their own decision, they didn't feel like they had to go. Anyone that just felt like they wanted to go and try it out, loved it. Loved it. And I'll tell you some things that I probably need to go back and listen to my old audio journals that I took when I was there. But I think everyone who's curious about the world, first off, I think everyone should go visit China. Not to support, the Communist Party government, not to support whatever policy they're doing, but because China has it's such an interesting mix of things. You've got a modern day quasi-socialist capitalist economy, right? At the local level, it seems very capitalist. So I'll give you my own perspective when I was there a few several years back. Is, you walk around and there's tons of people that are, all these different street food vendors, people that are making money on the side, selling food, making trinkets, selling trinkets, running small shops, repair shops, people with internet cafes. But people over there at the small scale, you run across just entrepreneurs everywhere. Now, I don't know the tax structure in China. I don't know how that affects that, but they are just really industrious people in general. And you just can't help but notice that when you go to certain parts of China, at least. Now, in the big cities like Shanghai and Beijing, it's similar but different because there's so much big business there. There's lots of chain malls and restaurants and shops everywhere. There's a lot of that. But if you go, I was in a suburb of a province called Sichuan was the province, and I was in a city called Chengdu, and I was in a suburb of there. So Chengdu at the time did not have a strong foreign presence, and even in the suburbs, it was just straight Chinese culture. Like, it wasn't very westernized at all. Except for, the changes they've made overall to their, political economy or whatever. And it was everywhere you went, there were just people trying to figure out different ways to make money. And yes, there's scammers and stuff like that. I didn't run into those. But it was a and that tradition, that tradition of commerce, it runs really deep within China. I've been doing a lot of reading about China and Chinese history lately, and they have been engaging in commerce for thousands of years. And it's deeper than our modern day conception of capitalism. And in fact, honestly, commerce in general has just been, has existed forever, right? I don't think you'll ever find a society or civilization that did not have some form of commerce, like that was just, you know, kind of free floating, you know, whether it was the bazaars in the Middle East or the different trading routes along the Silk Road and, you know, throughout Europe and the Roman Empire. I'm sure there was controls on trade from the beginning of time, but, you know, think about without technology like we have today, imagine how much black market trading was going on. And there's probably, I mean, just free commerce, I feel like, has been the lifeblood of civilization forever. And it's evident in China. I mean, you just see that. And so when you're in it, you get past that veneer of, oh, I'm in this quasi-socialist capitalist state. It's like, no, I mean, a lot of people are just living. They're just doing what their ancestors have been doing for hundreds and thousands of years. Just figuring out a way to make a living so they can have a family, so they can continue. And another thing that is striking about, well, for one, there, if you go to China, then you'll recognize things like that, right? Like I just said, the commerce, there's just lots of commerce going on throughout the country. And there's these deep-rooted, you know, we tend to look at the country as this kind of communist state. And yes, they have a communist government. I mean, so communism itself is the total control of the means of production. So they're not technically communist in the economic tradition, but their party is called the Communist Party. They're less communist. They're more just authoritarian. It's more like a dictatorship or an oligarchy run by the few, right? Run by the heads of the Communist Party. But the Communist Party doesn't have a communist control over the whole economy. It just doesn't. That's not how it works over there. So the traditions of China, from what I observed, is there's a weird mix of things. You have a little bit of communist brainwashing from education, where people are kind of brought up in certain parts of China to believe that, you know, it's them against the capitalist West. But then it's also every part of China that I saw, it's infused with, you know, their ancient culture, whether it be the way they treat each other, the way their families are structured. You know, family is extremely important to, at least has been very important to the Chinese people. And it's much more important than you would find here, like in the United States. Yeah, you know, there's pockets of and communities that have a heavy emphasis on family. But over there, it's just everything's about, you know, the grandparents and the kids and the parents, and a lot, everyone's working to, you know, a lot of people are working together to kind of just figure out how to get by and improve their lives. And there's old traditions, and you'll hear about things like saving face over there. Like basically it has to do with, it's kind of like making yourself look bad. It's a little bit like embarrassing yourself. But in China, you'll run across a lot of traditions and cultural traditions and things like their spring festival, which has all kinds of interesting aspects that go back like probably hundreds and thousands of years. And, you know, whether it be eating fish or eating dumplings that look like they're in the shape of money, or, you know, there's all these funny superstitions that they follow, like you don't want to go to the hospital during a certain time of the Chinese New Year because it's bad luck for the rest of the year. So you have these like old cultural traditions, like, you know, the importance of the family, and a lot of elderly people still do, you know, like Tai Chi. And they, like I said, they still have these superstitions. They still eat particular foods for very traditional reasons. While at the same time, they're in this very modern style of economics. And at the same time, they have a very kind of modern authoritarian government. And so it's just a strange weird mix of all of these things together, like ancient culture, and but then it's also infused with catastrophes throughout the 20th century, right? Like under Mao, they had a disastrous famine, which wiped out, like, sometimes the estimates are near like 100 million Chinese people died because of famine. Then there's the Cultural Revolution, where they tried to destroy all their old traditions to bring about the communist dream of continuous revolution. And when you put all that together, you just have such a weird mix of things going on. And it's quite honestly, it's fascinating. Now, I know I've just been rambling, but whatever. Gonna pause for some sponsors and I'll be right back. Another part that I want to discuss is the absolute alienness. I don't know if that's a word, but it's there are so many things about it that are so alien, right? I've been describing it, how in China, it's they have very young domestic institutions like their court, their government. You know, think about it. Modern China is only, you know, born of 1949. It's a young, in terms of its modern constitution, modern politics, it's young. Right? So it's mixed with that. Their economy is young in many ways. And the fact that they've just had this economic boom since the 80s and the 90s and the 2000s. And so in many aspects, it's very young, but it's infused with these old ancient traditions, with these intermittent catastrophes. So you just have this strange environment going on. Now, beyond just the historical intricacies of the country. There is, if you go there, and this, you could probably find this in any country that you're just foreign to, but for me, it was China. It's everything, the language, the food, it's so alien, it's so different that I think everyone should experience something like that. I think it's all fine and dandy. I think it's cool if somebody wants to go to Europe, if they want to travel and take the trains all around Europe and all that stuff. The only problem is that we're so familiar with Europe, even if you've never been, right? You grow up watching movies about Europe. You learn about European history. Chances are when you do go to Europe, if you ever go, you know, you recognize things, right? Like the people look kind of familiar. Chances are the people look kind of familiar. The customs are kind of familiar. The language, even if you don't understand it, the letters are, you know, they're generally a Latin alphabet or a Latin-based alphabet where, you know, you can't read it, but it doesn't look like you're in an alien world. Then you go to a place like China or probably like Japan or whatever, and they don't use the same alphabet, and everything is so different that your mind is just thrown totally for a loop. Now, obviously, when you go to these places, you can find groups of people and expats that, travelers, and you can stick together and not really get out there. But if you get out there in these countries, like for me, like I said, it was China, it is a life changer. It is a life changer. When you're trying to survive and figure out your way through a cultural landscape that is 100% foreign to you, there's really nothing about it that you really understand. And, I just felt like ranting about that today. So that's what I'm going to do. One other note I want to say is, I talked about the strange mix of China, how it's this kind of this ancient culture embedded in this modern authoritarian political system with this young economic boom going on. And so you just have these weird forces working in China. And but one thing, though, that I did take away, and I'll try to talk in more detail about my time in China later, but I have always been impressed with the work ethic. And I know that work isn't everything. But when I was there, there was a very strong sense of progress, if that makes sense. Whereas here in myself, probably included, I kind of have everything I need and, you know, I'm not supporting my family. So I don't feel like this burden of like, I have to work super hard for my country. But over there, they have that. And while, you know, maybe if you talk to them, they don't like the pressure, but it is refreshing to see people work so hard for causes that are greater than themselves. So obviously, you know, anyone who listens to this, I am not a fan of the Chinese government. I don't like the Communist Party. I don't, you know, like I don't like authoritarian governments, right? That just goes without saying, I guess. I do think they're doing overall, an okay job with China considering what's going on. But yeah, I mean, I'd like to see people 100% like as free as possible. But, I do have just a lot of respect for just the average person like I do here in the United States. It's why I love, it's why I've always been obsessed with the little guy in terms of like entrepreneurs or freedom for just individuals, because I just have respect for the average fucking dude, right? And so I have respect for the average dude here in the US. I have respect for the average dude there in China. And just seeing people just work day in and day out to figure their shit out, it was refreshing. So anyway, that's just, I don't know what the hell this is today, but some of my perspective on China. Hope you enjoyed.